Thursday, January 4th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. We are starting to thaw out a little bit here in the Mile High City. Hey, you know, we talk sports every single weekday, and we try to do it with a dose of common sense. Try not to take ourselves too seriously, and we are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Thursday to you. We made it to Thursday. I know. Might not seem like quite as big of a deal on a short week, but we did make it to Thursday. We are almost to Friday, and there's nothing quite like a Friday and finishing up the work week. And remember, there are only like 350 some shopping days until next Christmas. Hey, we have a lot to get to today. We have some sports news that we've got to talk today. A few stories coming out we want to touch on. We just might have a few Daily Dose New Year's resolutions. Plus, as we do every Thursday, we will have our Daily Dose overreactions of the week. It seems like every week, the sports media world is buzzing about something, and it's not always worth your time to check out. Okay, so I have a confession to make here. I intentionally didn't talk about the University of Arizona firing head football coach Rich Rodriguez yesterday because I was hearing that they didn't have a very strong case against him, and I wanted to hear what actually came out before I commented on it.
What?
On what came out. I know, I'm crazy in that way. How irresponsible am I? I wanted to wait and like hear some evidence and kind of hear what their story was and hear what his story was before I commented on it. I know, makes me a bad media person. That's why I'm just kind of media-ish. I'm not full-blown media. Here is what we have, at least so far. The Wildcats fired football coach Rich Rodriguez after six seasons in the wake of a sexual harassment allegation that the university began investigating back in October, and a recent notice of a hostile workplace lawsuit to be filed against the school by this person. Arizona had an investigation which concluded in late December in which it determined the allegation against Rich Rod could not be substantiated. Okay, let's dig a little deeper into this because that doesn't make a lot of sense. So like, let's say you're a kid and you got in trouble and your teacher sent you to the principal's office. And when you went to the principal's office, the principal said, "What'd you do?" And you said, "Well, the teacher said I did this." And they went back and talked to the teacher and said, "Well, they said he's cheating on his test or whatever." And we look and, "Well, no, he didn't cheat on the test." Okay, well, then you're not in trouble. Go back to class and that's the end of it. Rich Rod got called out and they said, "Well, it looks like you're doing something inappropriate here. It looks like you're doing something wrong here." They checked on him and then they said, "Yeah, we're going to fire you anyways." Okay, here is what happened. At least what we're getting so far. The allegations that we're getting are a little bit weird. Like, there was this woman that worked within the university, like a personal assistant, and she claims that she was asked by Rich Rod to get a sideline pass for his girlfriend to be on the sideline during games. On the same sideline, we might add, as his wife. And then that she had to try to stay between girlfriend and wife. Wait a second. Again, I told you I wanted to wait on this, and now that I've waited on this, I kind of wish I hadn't. Well, like, I wish I hadn't even talked about it at all. Let me see if I have this straight. Rich Rod has the wife on the sideline. Gutsy choice there. I'm just lobbing that out there. Like, gutsy choice to have the wife on the sideline with you. I can't imagine. Like, when I was coaching, Mrs. Dose was usually a few rows up. She doesn't like sitting too close to the action. She would say a few rows up. I can't imagine her being down in the huddle with me. Some of the things I said, not always for everyone's ears, right? Rich Rod on the sideline had the wife on the side. Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that. Wait, there's more. It gets worse. Then he has the side piece get a pass to be on the same sideline. Hey, say what you will about Rich Rodriguez. You can say he's, you know, innovative mind offensively. You can say he's not really winning like he should be. You can say a lot. Don't say he's not gutsy. Don't say dude is not absolutely brass. He brought the side piece down on the sideline, the same sideline the wife is on. I can't get my head around this. So that is what she filed this thing for. Now, so he was having an affair on his wife. Now, I'm not sure that's a fireable offense. Like, if that's a fireable offense, there's a lot of people in business across this country getting fired right and left. So why is he getting fired? Like, why would he be getting fired? That's not a fireable offense. Let's see. Let's look a little deeper here. The woman in question, who is raising the allegations, is threatening a $7 million lawsuit. Well, there you go. We were a little bit confused as to why they'd fire him. We're not confused anymore, are we? There's a lawsuit. There's a possible lawsuit. That's why he's getting fired. You know what this reeks of? This reeks of a school that wanted to fire their coach for football reasons, most likely. And they finally came up with an excuse to do so. Oh, and they didn't want this lawsuit. Because yes, maybe a judge isn't going to find in her favor. These cases are going to be really, really tough. Because it's just he said, she said. Like, unless he was stupid enough to put something in writing, then again, he did bring the side piece down on the sideline. So he might have been stupid enough to put something in writing. But what I'm saying is, unless he was stupid enough to put something in writing, it's just her word versus his. There's no way to settle this. Oh, unless you settle out of court for a bunch of money. That's what this is. Let's be real clear about this situation with Rich Rodriguez. If this is Nick Saban, he's not getting fired. And remember, we've said this here on The Dose before. We talked about this on the subject of Colin Kaepernick. When your baggage outweighs your production, good luck. Again, if Tom Brady is doing the stuff Colin Kaepernick's doing, we overlook that. Because he's really, really good. His production outweighs it. But when it's someone that's not quite as good, like this, Rich Rod, not quite as good, oh no, he's getting fired. If it's Nick Saban, we're going to fight this tooth and nail because there's no way we're going to admit to this. We're going to fight this because this guy wins. This guy brings in money to the university. There's no way we're getting rid of him. Rich Rodriguez, he's doing okay. I don't know. Hasn't really done that great. Like, we thought we were getting something better than what we got. Not really that great. That's what's going on with this Rich Rodriguez situation down in Arizona. What a bizarre, bizarre story. Hey, we've got a lot more to get to. Got a couple other stories we've got to get to. Plus, we do have our Thursday overreactions of the week right after this. Of course, last night, Isaiah Thomas returned to Boston, but he didn't play, as he's still coming back from that hip injury. The Boston crowd, though, did give him a standing ovation, and then the Celtics whooped the Cavs 102-88. And no, I don't take too much from this, because it doesn't matter until it happens in the postseason. But just watching that game, Boston does have the better bench. And the Cavs, they don't always transition and play defense like they really care that much about transitioning and playing defense. Boston shot nearly 45% for the game last night. And you can say that getting Isaiah Thomas back will help. And it will in some ways. But he isn't helping their defense. We all know that. No big surprise, but Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold, who are often compared to each other as the starting quarterbacks of two top Pac-12 college programs, now are going to be in the same draft class as they each declared themselves ready to start their mediocre careers in the NFL last night. Oh, come on, you know I'm right. So University of Central Florida Athletic Director Danny White said Wednesday that the program has decided to claim a national championship and will place a championship banner inside Spectrum Stadium to recognize their undefeated 2017 season. Of course, the Knights beat Auburn 34-27 in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, capped a 13-0 season, finishing as the only undefeated team in college football. But because UCF doesn't play in a Power 5 conference, they entered the bowl game ranked number 12 by the selection committee. And of course, they weren't given an opportunity to play in the college football playoff. Since the victory on New Year's Day, UCF has changed its Twitter display name to 2017 National Champions with a logo designed to match. On a side note, just kind of related news, I have actually decided to claim a world's greatest podcast title for the Daily Dose. Thinking about buying some rings? You guys that are out there that listen every week. Hey, maybe we have to get championship rings. I'm just kind of throwing it out there. Maybe we've got to get the t-shirts, the hats, the flags. We've got to go out and do this and just declare ourselves world champion podcast. I mean, as long as we're just making things up, let's make up some things, right? I don't know what the point of this is. I guess. Yeah, knock yourself out. You can name yourself Dodgeball Champions if you want. Make up whatever you want. Hey, here's the thing that a lot of people don't realize. And I learned this in coaching. You might not know this, Daily Dose listener. Trophy shops will make whatever you want. Like, if you want, you can go get a trophy. Like, if your little kid is playing in rec league or something like that, and you're like, hey, I'm taking this pretty seriously. Like, this is pretty serious league. Yes, it's 7 and 8 year olds, but whatever. I'm going to go get a trophy. They'll make a trophy for you. I'm going to go get a trophy made and just give it to them. We're going to have the biggest trophy for the 7 and 8 year old league that we can possibly find. You can get whatever trophy made you want. The trophy shop doesn't even care. They'll make it as big and as nice as you want it. Knock yourself out, UCF. I mean, doesn't really mean anything. It's not going to go down in the history books. But no, go ahead. Knock yourself out. Name yourself national champions. Who cares? Hey, Georgia's thrilling double overtime win over Oklahoma, the first overtime game in the Rose Bowl's 104-year history, posted a 39% audience boost over last year's playoff game. That's according to ESPN. They also say that over 21 million people tuned in to see Alabama beat Clemson in the Sugar Bowl. Those stats are up 10% over last year's games. Now, if I remember right, was it last year's games that they played them on New Year's Eve? Or was it 2 years ago? Either way, they're kind of starting to figure this thing out. Yeah, put it on a night when people will actually watch it and you'll get a pretty good audience. Put it on a night when everybody's out doing other things. Yeah, for some strange reason, nobody watches. It's kind of weird how that works out. But yeah, we'll see what the championship game comes in at with their viewership numbers. But so far, I mean, a 10% increase over last year's playoff games. And then what a great playoff game they got with the Georgia-Oklahoma game going into double overtime. That was phenomenal. I don't know if you saw this. Tampa Bay Buccaneers safety TJ Ward, the guy that formerly played in Denver, helped the Denver Broncos win a Super Bowl a couple years ago. He was arrested in Tampa yesterday morning on an outstanding warrant for failure to appear. And that was stemming from an October arrest for marijuana possession and possession of drug paraphernalia. On October 25th, officers entered Ward's apartment due to an active intrusion alarm. Officers then discovered two large clear glass jars containing 99.9 grams of marijuana belonging to TJ Ward. It's kind of a sad statement on what's going on with some of these athletes. Wait a second. Hold on 1 minute. TJ Ward played a few years in Denver. He just went to Tampa this year. That's not fair. We can't put this on TJ Ward. This isn't fair at all. I mean, TJ Ward lived in Colorado for like 5 years. He thinks this is like what you do everywhere. Do you guys realize the laws we have here in Colorado? Do you know what is happening in Colorado? Forget in your home. Like, forget having a jar of 99.9 or whatever in your home. Do you know what you have down at like a Colorado Rockies game in July? Just, I don't know, on a Tuesday night?
Hey, you want to get high, man?
Come on, man. Leave TJ Ward alone. He thinks he's still in Colorado. This is not his fault. That's unfair. That's unfair. Florida, catch up. As crazy as Florida is, how have they not legalized? Like, bath salts and crack and stuff are just floating rampant down in Florida, and they haven't legalized marijuana yet? Come on, Florida, catch up. Okay, I received a message actually earlier this week on Twitter, and this listener asked where our Daily Dose New Year's resolutions were. And you know what? That's totally my bad. That is my fault. We have been so busy with college football bowl games and with the NFL playoffs and switching to the Daily Show and all this stuff, I haven't gotten around to them yet, but that's okay. It's all right. It's still early. Today is only January 4th. We can still catch up. We can still do this. Most of you are still sticking to your like less carbs and more vegetables BS, right? So we can still catch up too. Now, we need to hurry and get this in because let's be honest, a lot of these resolutions, they don't even make it a full week. So we're going to hurry and try to catch up and get a few New Year's resolutions down for the Daily Dose. Here we go. First resolution that we have this year, 2018. We've got a few. Don't have a lot, but we've got a few. You know, usually when you're making your resolutions, like lose some weight, be better financially, take some time for myself. I really feel like I need to reflect on myself a little bit more. I'm not spending enough time focusing on me. Notice that most of the people that focus on me are usually idiots. Anyways, okay, here's the resolutions that we here at the Daily Dose are going to make for 2018. First and foremost, be nice to the Auburn Tigers. Like, that sounds, you know, pretty easy. That sounds pretty obvious, but like, we need to be nicer to Auburn. Think about the Auburn Tigers right now. It has been a rough week. First, they lost to UCF in that Peach Bowl, allowing UCF to hang their national championship banner as though that wasn't bad enough. Then their two biggest rivals end up in the national championship game. Are you kidding me? Georgia and Alabama going to the national, like if you were to draw up worst case scenario for Auburn, what is the worst thing that could possibly happen? Let's see. We lose to a team that's not even in the Big Five in a bowl game that everybody's watching. And then, we hate Georgia. Oh, and we hate Alabama worse. Man, imagine if they played in the national championship game. That's what happened. I'm telling you right now, Daily Dose listener, if you see an Auburn fan, give them a hug. They need it. We're going to try to be a little bit nicer to Auburn here on The Dose. You know, one other thing we're going to do, we're going to give some credit to South Carolina football coach Will Muschamp. Hey, I love Steve Spurrier. If you have listened to The Daily Dose for very long, you know my affection for Steve Spurrier. Not only was he a brilliant mind, not only was he a brilliant offensive tactician, he was also like the sarcasm just ran through his body. I love Steve Spurrier. He is one of my favorite all-time college football coaches. But let's be real honest, he left an absolute mess in Columbia. The Gamecocks went 9-4 this year under Muschamp. They won the Outback Bowl over Michigan. And you know the thing that I'm noticing about Will Muschamp? Because I remember when he was at Florida. He's always angry, screaming at everybody. Remember the glares that he would have? He'd be glaring at people all the time anytime a player made a mistake. He looks like he's having fun. He looks like he's figuring things out. He looks like he's evolving as a coach. Hey, I give Will Muschamp some credit. Got to give some credit to South Carolina. You know, I'm trying to think health-wise what I could do. Tried to cut back on some of the things I was eating, work out a little more. You know, I'm only going to eat white snow from now on. You know, it's less flavor, but it seems like it'll be healthier in the long run. Another thing that I'm going to do here on The Daily Dose, we are going to stop making fun of millennials for being so sensitive. You know, I know millennial athletes like a LeBron James or a Cam Newton, they're different from the older generation. You know, the older generation, they were raised in a different era. It's not quite the same, but I need to stop making fun of these guys. I have to stop making fun of how thin-skinned and like passive-aggressive and like social media conscious they are. It's not fair to them. They've been raised this way. It's not their fault. It's just that's the generation they were raised in. It's the people that raised them. It's not their fault. It's not nice. Plus, it makes them cry. And then I have to take them for ice cream. And then I have to give them a hug and tell them what good boys they are. It's a whole thing. I need to stop. I've got to stop doing it. You know another thing I need to do here on The Dose? We have got to stop betting Raymond from D.C. on his Buffalo Bills. He now owes like a number of lives.
I'm willing to bet my life.
And he clearly suffers from like Bills tunnel vision. Like he can't even see that there are other teams there. Like right now he's planning his Super Bowl parade. It feels like I'm taking advantage, I guess is what I'm saying. It feels like I'm kind of taking advantage of someone who just is really, really focused on how well they would like their team to do as opposed to how well their team's going to do. I probably need to stop betting Raymond his lives. You know, I need to stop pointing this out, and I haven't done it so much here on The Dose, but I do it more in my personal life. I need to stop pointing out that all these guys these days, I shouldn't say this, might not be a popular opinion, all the guys that have the beards growing, that, you know, the huge giant beards, and they've got this huge, and it's like super rugged and masculine, and they've got, yeah, in a few years, we're going to be looking back at those as like the mullets of the late 80s. Like, enjoy them now, because in just a few years, we're going to get, you were one of those guys that had a beard like that, didn't you? Yes, you did. We're going to find pictures. I know you had that big, ugly beard. You thought you were so cool with your beard. I'm telling you, if you remember like the late 80s, early 90s, the guys with the mullets, we did the same thing to them. Hey, this is all cyclical. It will come around. Yes, it's true. Then again, maybe it's because I can't grow one. I don't know. Either way, I shouldn't be pointing that out because beard guys, a lot of beard guys are pretty sensitive. I shouldn't say that. So, going to try to stop picking on the beard guys. I need to stop blaming Big Rob for the fact that I forgot to assign my point values in our college football pick'em in our Daily Dose bowl game contest until it was like a week in. Like I missed the first few weeks of games that I could have been racking up points. Hey, Big Rob is beating me fair and square. He didn't cheat to do it. And yes, Mrs. Dose is right behind me in the points. Yeah, it's still a little bit fishy to me. But I need to stop that. I'm going to try to stop. What other New Year's resolutions could we have? I gotta stop being so negative. Only have a couple more here. You know, I've gotta stop being so negative about the Cincinnati Bengals. And like Marvin Lewis and them re-signing Marvin Lewis. I mean, sure, they haven't won a playoff game with Marvin Lewis. but they did beat the Baltimore Ravens in that final game of the season. And have you noticed this? Have you noticed that people like feel better about them than if they had actually made the playoffs and then lost in the playoffs? Like, everyone's acting like, man, the Bengals, they really looked good. Like, they won their last game. That was awesome. What'd they go, like 6-10? Who cares? Marvin Lewis just got a contract extension. You know what Lewis's contract extension makes me think? It makes me wonder if they were hoping, because there were like 2 days it was all kind of in limbo. It makes me wonder if they were expecting a coach to get fired and they were going to say, hey, we're going to get that guy. We're going to get rid of Lewis. We're going to get that guy. Let's just wait. Wait. Oh, they're not going to fire him? No? Okay. We're going to re-up Lewis. We really like Lewis. We've always loved Lewis. I don't know what the confusion is. Kind of makes me wonder that. But I need to stop picking on the Bengals. They did win their last game, I guess. Whatever. Man, it's better than what they've done the last few years in the playoffs, I guess. You know, and finally, our last New Year's resolution. I need to stop picking on the city of Cleveland. You know, and I do. I know. That's my bad. That's totally my fault. You know, I pick on LeBron. So LeBron refers to himself as a philanthropist. I'm sure he does a lot of philanthropy things. I mean, yes, the whole world knows him as a basketball player. He wants to be a philanthropist. Knock yourself out. If you're helping people, who am I to say anything? Good on you, LeBron. Good karma for you. And I mean, Cleveland, the city itself, it's getting better. I mean, the Cleveland Cavaliers won a title in Cleveland just a couple years ago. The Indians are a perennial power in baseball. And the Cleveland Browns are... Okay, wait. We haven't discussed the Browns. I don't know how we missed this, but we haven't discussed the Browns. You know how we always talk about here on the Daily Dose? The thing we love about the NFL and the thing that we love about football and the thing we love about sports in general is we don't know what's going to happen. That's the great thing about it. Like when you go to the big budget movie, you know the hero's going to win in the end. He's going to save the girl. He's going to do the blah, 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 blah. We don't care. In sports, we don't know. The hero might lose the big game. We see it all the time. And yet, if you bet on the Cleveland Browns this football season to lose every game, you won money every single week. The Browns managed to go 0-16 this year. And you might say, well, hey, I mean, they don't have much talent, so it's tough. It's tough for the Browns. But going without a win? In the entire history of the NFL, it's only happened like 2 or 3 times ever. Think of how many bad football teams are out there. Think of how many awful football teams there have been in the NFL. The horrible New Orleans Saints managed to win a game. This Cleveland Browns team stayed focused. They kept their eyes on the prize, and they did. And for that, we need to stop picking on Cleveland. Because this Browns team accomplished what they set out to do. They didn't win a single game. I'm going to stop picking on Cleveland so much. I'm going to stop picking on the Browns. Hey, they saw a goal, and they accomplished that goal. LeBron is a philanthropist. The Indians are getting better. Cleveland, I don't know. They're getting better. They're doing their best, right? They're going to manage to win some games maybe in another year or maybe in another 2 or 3 years. Okay, so there are a few of our New Year's resolutions that we are making here at the Daily Dose. Are we going to be able to keep all of them? I don't know. Just do this. Here's an idea. When you drive by the gym today, take a look at how many cars are there. And then each week, notice how that decreases. That's probably how our resolutions are going to go here at the Dose. I'm not trying to be all negative. I'm just saying there's a chance we might start falling off the wagon as things progress. I'm just saying that. Hey, coming back, we will have our weekly Daily Dose segment. That's right. The best overreactions from the sports media world. Just a quick reminder to make sure that you do any of that post-holiday shopping that you need to. Over at lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find all of the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. You know you got some money for Christmas. You know you want to spend it. Or maybe you realized you forgot someone on that Christmas list and you've got to go get them something. Head over to Loot Crate. Promise you, they will hook you up. January's Loot Crate theme is called Discover, and it features items from Rick and Morty, X-Files, Harry Potter, and Westworld. But if you go over to Loot Crate, you're going to see. They've got stuff on pretty much every franchise you can think of. And the best part about ordering is when you check out at Loot Crate, just be sure to enter Daily Dose, DALYDOSE in the coupon box. We will get you 10% off of that order. Okay, so every week, we like to stop, take a look around at the sports world, and kind of see what's being thrown around by the sports media world and what overreactions they might be jamming down our throat, and then kind of let you know is this worth your time? Is this just nonsense? Or did they actually get something right? And you never know. Now, one of the big ones that I keep hearing, and one of the big ones that seems to be pretty popular right now, we talked about it earlier on the show. Central Florida deserved to be in that college football playoff. I don't know if you realize this, but Central Florida went undefeated this year, and they should have been in that college football playoff. You know what I'd like to see, I guess, is I'd like to see how many people of these same people were saying that prior to their game against Auburn. Because remember when the final committee voted and they gave us our final four, and they gave us, well, actually their final six, but they gave us a final four. And they said, here's the teams that are going to be in, and here's the teams that got left out. And everybody said, oh man, that's kind of a ripoff. Ohio State should have been in. Why didn't Ohio State get in? I didn't hear anybody say, oh man, Central Florida should have got in. That's a huge ripoff, until they won this game. Then all of a sudden everybody starts coming out later. If you said it before, then I'll hear you. If you didn't say it until just now when they beat Auburn, an Auburn team that, one, was banged up, and two, honestly, I don't know how interested they were in being in that game. They wanted to be playing the national championship game. I'm not saying there wasn't effort there that they laid down. Can you really turn off and on that switch? I'm not sure about that. But before you get ahead of yourself and start saying, hey, Central Florida should be national champions, Central Florida should have been in the National College Football Playoff, let's just look at who they beat. They beat Florida International. They beat Maryland. They beat Memphis twice. They beat Cincinnati, East Carolina, Navy, that was down, Austin Peay, SMU, UConn, Temple. Do you see where we're going with this? Yes, they beat South Florida. I don't know if that's nearly as impressive as what we're trying to be spun that it is. And yes, they beat number 7 Auburn, the team that did beat Georgia and did beat Alabama. I'll hear all that. I get all that. But let's slow down on UCF as this dominant great team that should have been in the playoff. Nobody was saying that before. Nobody was saying it when we just heard the selections. And don't forget, South Florida lost to Houston. So it wasn't like South Florida was the target everyone was aiming for. Not sure I'm buying Central Florida deserve to be in the playoff. Would I like to see an 8-team playoff so that a Central Florida could get in? Yes. Should they have gotten this year? Not based on that schedule I just read you. No, I don't think they should have. Based on that schedule, they should have been maybe about where they were. They played on New Year's Day in the Peach Bowl. Yay. Hang the banner. Go ahead. You know, I'm also hearing Baker Mayfield's trash talk is what did in Oklahoma. That's what really got Georgia going. Because Baker Mayfield was even saying during the game, this game's over. These guys can't stop me. He was telling his coaches they need some help over there. That's what really did it. So before Baker Mayfield started talking trash, like Georgia didn't really care too much. Like they were just like, eh, like we'd like to win the Rose Bowl. It'd be kind of cool to go to a championship, but oh, wait, did you hear what he just said? Oh, Baker, you're in trouble. Yeah, I'm not sure I'm buying that. Does Baker Mayfield talk a lot of trash? Yeah, I've got news for you. If you've never been on the sideline of a big game, go do this. Go get yourself a sideline pass. I don't know, hook up with Rich Rodriguez or whatever you need to do. There is a ton of trash talking going on. We saw the kid from Georgia after the game screaming, humble yourself at him. Let me see if I have this straight. Screaming, humble yourself while you're bragging about what you just did. I'm having a hard time getting my head around that. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a lot of trash talk that goes on. I promise you, that's not what got Georgia going. You know what got Georgia going? They changed to a man-to-man defense, and they started pressuring up, and they started shutting down the line of scrimmage. That's what got Georgia going. It's always about effort and execution, and we know they had effort before. And then they started to execute, and they started to work their game plan, and that front started to take over on both sides of the ball. That's what got Georgia going, not some nonsense. The other side is that I heard that the SEC defense is what shut down Baker Mayfield. Well, hey, he was fine until he ran into an SEC defense. He was putting up all those big stats until he ran into an SEC defense. He hung half a 100 on them. So let's slow down on the fact that Georgia shut him down. Yes, couple of key drives, couldn't get anything going. Like I said, Georgia started to control the line of scrimmage. That's what changed the game. But he still put up, 48 points? You put up 48 points, you probably ought to win the game, shouldn't you? Yeah, not so much. You know, one thing that I'm hearing this week, Randy Moss and Terrell Owens both deserve to get into the Hall of Fame this year. Yeah, go ahead and tell us that the sun is bright too. They're both going to get into the Hall of Fame. I have a question about the Hall of Fame. Since when did it matter quite as much when they got in? Like, last year, Terrell Owens got shut out. And we know why. It was the media situation and the fact probably that he didn't win Super Bowls, as dumb as that might be. But if you don't get voted in on your very first opportunity, is it really that big of a deal, or do you just get voted in the next year? Like, if we were sitting here saying, man, it's been 5 years and they've been voted for five times and Randy Moss and Terrell Owens still haven't gotten in, that's not the case. So when I hear media members, and trust me, just turn on your TV, you'll see guys shouting about this, Randy Moss and Terrell Owens, they both ought to get in the Hall of Fame this year. Yeah, and they're gonna. And if they don't, they'll get in next year. It's not like they're going to get shut out, though. Slow down on how crazy people are getting about the Hall of Fame. The whole thing with the Hall of Fame and the whole thing about retiring numbers, some of that stuff is just silly. It's just stuff to take up time. It's just stuff to waste space and get clicks. It's nonsense. Okay, the last overreaction we've heard this week is that the Cincinnati Bengals are absolutely crazy to re-sign head coach Marvin Lewis to a new contract. I mean, Marvin Lewis has never won a playoff game. It seems like they consistently underachieve. They've had talent in Cincinnati. You can't say that they don't. They've had some serious talent, and he's never done anything with it. No, the sports media nailed that one. That's exactly right, because Marvin Lewis has no business getting a new contract. I can't figure out how he has stayed this long in Cincinnati. He knows where the owner hit the body or something. I don't know. But no, sports media has that one exactly right. Hey, tomorrow is Friday. So, of course, we will be looking at the latest sports news and stories, and we will take a look at what is coming over the weekend, some of the biggest sporting events and some things that you might want to make sure that you tune in for. Plus, as we do every week, we will have our Daily Dose top five, so you know that you've got to tune in for that. Have to say thank you so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for the questions, the suggestions, for sharing the show. It is all very, very appreciated. Have to say thank you to GSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday, everybody.